There is something wonderfully simple about the gospel. The gospel is not something that is complicated. And even when you think of Jesus, when he was upon this earth, and how he came and he walked the streets and the fields and the riversides with ordinary people, just like us. Farmers going out to sow the seed on the land. Fishermen about to go out into the boat and to catch some fish, hopefully. Ordinary people about to go home and have some bread. There's something very ordinary and profoundly simple about that. And in John's Gospel, chapter 6, there is recorded for us, we didn't actually read this story tonight, but there is recorded for us, and you can see it there in your own Bibles, the famous story of the feeding of the 5,000 and the little boy who had his 5 loaves and his 2 fish. And it is wonderful how the Lord is able to do so very much with so very little. And that's true also for you and for me, that the Lord is able to do an awful lot with not very much. So be encouraged this evening. And all of this leads into a conversation about food. Isn't it amazing how often we talk about food? It was no different back in Jesus' day. And then it becomes a little bit more spiritual, and they're talking about the manna that came from heaven way back in the Old Testament. And basically that leads, to cut a long story short, to Jesus saying, I am the manna. I am the bread of life. This is, of course, the first of 7 I am sayings. And if you've got very good eyesight, you might be able to read them there. But the 7 I am sayings of Jesus. And we'll bring them up here. Maybe that's slightly better. And maybe I shouldn't have put them up. Maybe I shouldn't have put anything up and got you to shout them all out. But you would have known them, wouldn't you? I am the bread of life, chapter 6. I am the light of the world, chapter 8. I am the door for the sheep, chapter 10. And also I am the good shepherd, chapter 10. I am the resurrection and the life, chapter 11. I am the way, the truth, and the life, chapter 14. And I am the true vine. Now, if you have your Bible open, I want you just to notice one other thing, just for your reflection. If you have your Bible, and we do encourage you to bring your Bible, just glance over for a moment to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And if you haven't got your Bible, just listen to this, because I'm going to read. It's quite a long chapter. I'm just going to read from verse 53. Okay? Well, actually, I'll start at verse 52. Listen very carefully to this. At this, the Jews exclaimed, "Now we know that you are demon-possessed. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. Yet you say that if anyone keeps your word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are?" Jesus replied, "If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. And if I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad." "You're not yet 50 years old," the Jews said to him, "and you have seen Abraham?" "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am. At this, they picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. I'm sure some of you have noticed that before. I'm sure this isn't the case, but maybe that there's somebody here tonight and you haven't noticed that before. Before Abraham was, I am. Now, it's no wonder they picked up the stones, because those very orthodox and religious men knew exactly what Jesus was saying, which we'll come to in a moment. Before Abraham was, I am. Now, I just want you to have that in the back of your mind as we come to these sayings this evening. Because there is more to these I am sayings than meets the eye. They are actually, and I've got this on the screen, they are self-revelations. In other words, they are saying something about Jesus. Jesus is teaching these people about who he is. And they echo the words of Exodus 3:14. This is a very important and basic thing for us to understand. What does Exodus 3:14 say? Well, I've got it written on the screen. Let me read it to you. It says this. God said to Moses. Moses had asked him, who will I say to Pharaoh has sent me? Well, God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you're to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. Have you noticed that before? I hope you've noticed that before. Moses says, who will I say has sent me? And God says, I am who I am. God has sent you. Now, can you understand why they wanted to stone him? These very orthodox Jewish people. Jesus was saying, I am God. I am the living God in your midst. Before Abraham was, I am. So we need to understand that at the very basic of all of these I am statements, so from now on, if it hadn't happened before, from now on, when you think of the I am sayings of Jesus, you will go in your mind, Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14. Because that's exactly what his hearers in the first century would have done. And that's why they were so troubled. But we shouldn't be troubled, because we know who Jesus is. We believe that he is the Son of God. So let me press on this evening. I am the bread of life. And I just want to say, actually, you thought I was going to say three simple things. I'm going to say four simple things about what this says to us. There are many things that could be said, but very basic things. First thing I want to say is this. Bread is necessary for life. Bread is necessary for life. Bread is part of our staple diet. I haven't forgotten about the dear old spuds. I did grow up on a potato farm myself. But it's true to say, bread is a staple part of our lives. And it's true right across the world. And it was true in Jesus' day. Without bread, let me say it very bluntly, without bread in Jesus' day, people died. If you didn't have bread, you would die. And Jesus here is saying to these people that if you're going to live, you need bread. If you're going to be able to function in the way that you ought, you need bread. And you see, Jesus is speaking here not just about physical bread, of course. He's speaking about spiritual bread. And Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the true bread that comes from the Father. You've been talking about the bread that came in Moses' day and the manna that came in Moses' day. I am the true manna. And the same bread that caused those people to survive in the desert, I am the bread. If you have me, you will survive in the desert place. And you will survive in life. And you will survive beyond life. Because I am the bread of life. And today the very simple message is this, the message of the gospel, that if people are going to have eternal life, if you are going to have eternal life here this evening, then you need this bread. You need Jesus. And that is why preachers and pastors up and down the length and breadth of the country tonight, as I preach, are doing the same thing. They are calling men and women and boys and girls to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved, was the message given to the Philippian jailer. And it's the message for all of us here this evening. If you're going to have life, spiritual life, you need Jesus, the bread of life. So it's necessary for life. It's a very simple point, but one that needs to be made. The second thing I would say is that this is bread that is suited for all. I wonder if I was to ask you tonight what food you don't like to eat. Maybe you're all very good and you just eat what's put in front of you. But I suspect that somewhere here tonight there's somebody, and if you're honest, you'd say, well, really, I don't like that and I don't like this and all the rest of it. And not everyone can eat everything. Some people don't like certain meats. Some people don't like certain fish or shellfish. How could I say such a thing in Kilkeel? But it's true. Some people try to avoid sweets. But here's the point. Bread is suited to all. Bread is suited to all. And Jesus is the bread of life for all people. It struck me, I don't know if you were watching on the television, the visit of the princess and prince over in India. And one of the things that struck me that there was one day that they were literally sitting with desperately, desperately poor people, and they were doing lots of kind and helpful things. And then the reporter said, you know, tonight they are going to be meeting with the aristocracy and all the high hegians, as we might put it, of India. The paupers and the aristocracy. And at that point, as I saw that in the news, it made me think of a lovely story about George Whitefield. And George Whitefield was a famous preacher of the gospel at the same time as John Wesley. And George Whitefield sometimes would have been gathered in the house of a lady who was a lovely Christian lady. She was called the Countess of Huntingdon. And she was a very wealthy lady. And she would have gathered in all the high hegians from her day. And they would have been there. The aristocracy, the rich and the famous would have been there. And the next day, George Whitefield would have been standing in the middle of a field with miners and farmers and just very ordinary people. And what was he preaching to the ordinary folk and to the high hegians? The same message, the message of Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. It was the same message. He didn't change his message for one group and change it for the other. It was the same message. And folks, this is the glory of the gospel. And you've heard me say it many, many times. It's a message for all men and women. Intelligent, dull, rich, poor, sophisticated, ordinary, black, white, Jew, Arab, orange, green, Catholic, Protestant, dissenter, here is the message that all people need to hear and all people must hear. The words of Jesus, I am the bread of life. And he who comes to me will not hunger. And whoever believes in me will not thirst. Folks, as you go out with this message, I encourage you again, without any hindrance being upon you, share this message with all men. Doesn't matter who they are. Doesn't matter where they're from. Share this message with all people, because Jesus is the bread that is suited for all. The third thing that I would say is this, and this is profoundly simple, but Jesus makes this point, bread to be eaten. You don't need me to tell you what happens to the bread that sits in your bread bin. I'm sure this doesn't happen in your house. It sits in the bread bin and it doesn't get eaten. Well, we don't have to go there. Bread is for being eaten. And bread that is not eaten is thrown out. Bread is to be put on your plate and it's to be eaten. And tonight, as we think of the Lord Jesus, Jesus is to be believed. Not just set in a nice place and looked at once in a week. But he's to be believed. He's to be received. Knowledge about Jesus is a wonderful thing, but knowledge about Jesus is for believing. Now, what I want you to go back, just go back to your Bible there, and I want you to notice what happens here. In verse 27, just look at it there. Jesus says, don't work for food that spoils, but for food that endures, which the Son of Man will give you. And then they asked him a question. What should we do to do the works of God? Verse 29. The work of God is this. To believe in the one he has sent. To believe in the one he has sent. Folks, this evening, can I ask you the question? Have you believed? Not just in your head, but in your heart. Have you trusted? Have you thrown yourself on the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what it means to believe. There then follows a very interesting conversation that they were having with the Lord Jesus. And again, let me, if you've got your Bible, you can pick it up there at verse 41. In human life, it's not too long before somebody starts to grumble or argue about something. So in verse 41, we're told that the Jews began to grumble because he had said, I'm the bread that came down from heaven. And they're saying, this man, what's he saying? This is the son of Joseph. We know his mother and father. They live down the road there. What's this man talking about that he's the bread of life? And they can't kind of get their head around this. And Jesus says in verse 43, stop grumbling amongst yourselves. And then look at verse 47. He says this, I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. Jesus goes on to use vivid, even shocking language in the next section, verses 50 and following. He speaks about literally eating his flesh and taking his blood. What's he talking about? What's he mean? Well, I believe he was trying to confront the earthy, materialistic mindset of these Galileans. You've eaten bread I provided earlier on, but here's more bread that you have to eat. You have to believe in me. You have to receive me. I think one of the keys to understanding what's going on here, and you can see I've written it out there on the screen, bread to be eaten. Look at verse 40. Verse 40 says, "For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Just hold that in your mind. And then look at verse 54. "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Eating and drinking is a symbol of looking and believing. And it all boils down to something very, very simple. And Augustine said this a very long time ago. He famously said, "Believe and you have eaten." Tell me tonight, have you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you truly believed and entrusted yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ? That is the key thing tonight. The call to come to Christ, to believe in the Lord Jesus, to throw yourself in the Lord Jesus, to repent of your sins, and to rest on him. That is the key thing. Why? Because he's the bread of life. And like bread in your house, in your kitchen this evening, it's not to be left there sitting in the cupboard or in the bread bin. It's to be eaten. And Jesus is not just to be looked at. He's to be received. He's to be eaten, if we can use the language that he's using here. He's to be believed. Have you eaten this bread? Have you believed? Have you come to Jesus? I am the bread of life. Tonight, it's necessary for life. Folks, understand this. If you're going to have eternal life, you need this bread. Without this bread, you will not live eternally. You will die eternally. Bread necessary for life. Men's bread suited for all. This is a message for all men tonight in the kingdom of morn. Let's go and tell them. And it's bread to be eaten. And here's the last thing. Bread bringing growth. Bread bringing growth. The emphasis here in this passage is on what it means to believe. And through believing, to have everlasting life. You see, folks, tonight it is faith and faith alone in Christ that saves. That is at the heart of what we understand the gospel to be. It is faith in the broken body and in the shed blood of Jesus that saves. It is faith in the finished work of Christ on Calvary that saves. But here's my point. It's not an easy believism. Because what I want to say now, just before I finish, is this, is that bread is necessary to help us to grow. Let me ask you a massive question, brother and sister in Christ. Are you growing? Are you growing tonight as a Christian believer? Are you progressing? If you're not progressing, you're regressing. Are you going on with the Lord? That's a massive question. You see, sometimes our Christianity can be weak and anemic. Sometimes, if truth be told, we have to say that we're not really hungering for the Lord. We're not really thirsting for the Lord Jesus. We are satisfied with the things around us. Is that a picture of you tonight? If truth be told, you're actually quite satisfied with life and with what you've got and with the things around you. Maybe your life has fallen on pleasant places and things are going pretty well. But actually, things are maybe not going so well spiritually because you're leaning on the wrong things and you're not going on with the Lord. And this ties in a wee bit with what we were saying this morning. Folks, brother and sister, we need to grow in grace. And Jesus says here, and this is our text tonight, it's very simple. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never thirst. And there is a sense in which we must continually keep coming to Jesus. After we're saved, we need to keep coming back to Jesus for more. The psalmist says, open your mouth and I will fill it. So let us come this evening afresh to grow in Christ. And yes, you're sitting here tonight, and here's a word from the Lord for someone here tonight. You need to get back into that daily routine of opening the scriptures and by faith feeding on Jesus. You see, the quiet time is not just about reading a nice little verse or reading a story and saying, well, that's it for today. It's about feeding on Jesus. What is the word saying to me about Jesus? What is the word saying to me? How can this feed my soul? Because we're all hungry souls. And we need to be fed. And here is bread in Jesus, bringing growth. Every part of the scripture points to Jesus. I'm sure you know that. Every single part of it points to Jesus. And every single part of the Bible has something to say to us about the Lord Jesus and how he can quench our thirsting and satisfy our hungering. Because if we don't satisfy those things, and Jesus will try and satisfy them in other things. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And just as bread is necessary for life, faith in Jesus Christ is absolutely necessary for eternal life. Are you in Christ tonight? Have you believed? Have you eaten of Jesus? Have you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? If not, don't leave this building until you do. You can even, as you sit in this pew this evening, cry in your heart silently to the Lord, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, come into my life. And the Lord will do it. There is something profoundly simple about the gospel, as I said. And once you have come to Christ, go on with Christ, progress in Christ. That's what we were thinking about this morning. And that's a word for all of us who profess this evening. We need to go on with the Lord. And we can go on with the Lord if we so desire. And I trust and pray that in the midst of whatever you have to do this week, you may have to plough a field. You may have to drive a lorry a considerable distance. You may have to put down a path or build part of a house or fix a kitchen or look after children or teach a class. But I hope that on top of whatever those things that you have to do this week, that you will also say, there's something else I have to do. I have to go on with the Lord. I have to grow in the Lord. And I have to live for the Lord, because he is the bread of life. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray tonight that you would touch us with this message that comes from you. And Lord, whatever is of your Holy Spirit, that you would just press it deep into our souls, that we might feed on Jesus, that we might truly believe in him and go on believing in him and grow in him, that our souls might be satisfied in him. Gracious Lord, hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.